Today's Amazing Race Recap is sponsored in part by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, who are more important to me than reading the clues on The Amazing Race. To find out more about the benefits of becoming an RHAP patron, visit robhasawebsite.com/patron. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who also enjoys wearing carpet, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Amazing Race for wrap-up. Week 11 of the Amazing Race All-Stars. Only 1 week left to go. We're down to just three teams here in the final leg of the Amazing Race All-Stars Season 24. And here with me to discuss everything from tonight's episode is the amazing Jessica Lees. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great, Rob.
That's fantastic. Yes.
I'm going to be even greater once this season is over, but...
No, I don't like to hear that you get run down, but I know, I understand for all the co-hosts that the season is long for all of the shows that we cover.
Yeah, and I would feel like, I feel like at this point, last season and the season before, I was in a much better place with it all because I was having a better time. Like, I feel like we're getting into kind of a disappointing... The whole race as a whole was kind of disappointing, and now we're kind of petering out into a sort of predictable end, okay. I feel like.
Well, I have to say that I did enjoy this episode, even if this season probably did not have as much live up to the hype that we had for it.
Yeah, it was a bright spot, to be sure. I mean, this leg wouldn't have been out of place in any other Amazing Race.
Yeah, I thought this was a pretty fun show tonight. A couple of really fun tasks along the way. But back in January or February when we were previewing this season, I think we were really looking at this season as, oh, this is going to be really great. We can't wait to see all these teams back together again. And it has certainly not been one of the most memorable Amazing Race seasons.
I think the funny thing is, I was not excited to see most of these teams, but I was excited because I figured with an all-star season, they'd pull out all the stops and they'd have this amazing course plotted out. And exactly the opposite has happened. Like, I've been okay with the majority of the teams, and I've even liked some of them a lot more than I used to. But the course is just, it's killing me how cheap everything seems. But this leg was one of the better ones.
One of the better ones. Okay, so tonight, the Afghanimals go home. Fourth place once again. And ironically, Jess, did you say preseason these guys are so fourth place?
I think we had them going out fourth or fifth.
Yeah, so sad to see the Afghanimals go home. But Jess, why don't you eulogize the Afghanimals 2.0 for us?
Afghanimals 2.0 learned a lot of lessons. I think definitely they didn't feel the need to be the center of attention the entire time. And I think that enabled them to focus a lot more on their racing, and they were out in front for a lot more of the race than they were the first time around.
And so do you feel like the Afghanimals are now primed for a third time on the show?
I hope nobody ever comes back for a third time again.
Oh, no.
No, and I don't think the Afghanimals are not, they're not larger than life enough to be asked back a third time unless we get into that territory like Survivor where everybody gets asked back for a third time.
Well, I thought they were good, the Afghanimals. I liked them the first time, and I liked them again. I felt like they got a little bit grating with the whole accidental alliance deal. But I'm not sure if production like told everybody to nip it in the bud or what, but it seemed like the accidental alliance was over this week, and I felt like we got no reaction to Brenschel not being U-turned.
Yeah, there was nobody got butthurt over people not using their U-turn the way they said they would.
It was so anticlimactic where for 3 weeks, all we heard was about that, oh, we're the Brenschels. We're going to U-turn the Brenschels. We're going to U-turn the Brenschels. The Afghanimals get to the U-turn. They decide to U-turn the Cowboys. And nobody calls them out for that.
Well, you know, maybe Dave was quiet about it because all Jamal had to say was, I had a leg injury. You make weird decisions when you have a leg injury. And Dave would be like, yep, I guess so.
They're kindred spirits. And then at one point tonight, did the Afghanimals say that they hope that Dave and Connor go home?
Yeah, well, I would say if I was the Afghanimals, that would be what I would be hoping for, too, because who's won the most legs? And, you know, who seems to be the most the biggest competition? You want those guys to go home. You wouldn't necessarily say that to their faces at this point, especially since you were in this fake alliance with them for so long. But yeah, they could see, they could certainly hope that, and it wouldn't be an unsympathetic hope.
But was it a fake alliance? Because it felt like a real alliance.
It was, I guess fake alliance is not the word I'm going for.
It was like a real alliance, but then ultimately when push came to shove, they did what was in their own best interest. But
yeah, yeah, it was kind of, they, I guess rote is the word I want to go with. They got an alliance because somebody had to get an alliance, and I don't think the Afghanimals were ever fully as into it as Dave and Connor and the Country Singers were, certainly.
All right, so now we are set up here with our final three teams of Dave and Connor, who I think we expected to be here.
Yeah, I think we did the whole time.
Brentchel, who I don't think that we necessarily would have expected them to be here.
Well, they made the finals last time around.
They made the finals last time around, but I don't think that we thought that they were going to be in the top three at the end of the game. Like, I think we kind of thought that they would be in the middle.
Yeah, we figured they'd probably been on enough reality shows at this point that they weren't going to learn a tremendous amount and improve a lot. But yeah, they have certainly been better than we predicted.
And then the real surprise team has been Jen and Caroline. And the thing about Jen and Caroline is that there have been some legs of this race where they've been so good. And we've had to say, oh my God, you know, we have to give Jen and Caroline credit because they've done a really good job and we've been sleeping on them. And then there have been other legs of the race where they are absolutely terrible. And it's, they got saved by the non-elimination leg twice this season, and there's just sometimes where they get to a task and it seems like they have no chance to complete it.
Yeah, and they've had other teams basically doing the tasks for them, which is never fun to watch. And yeah, I feel like there's two different sets of country singers out there running the race, and we've got the powerhouse ones that turn out to be amazing at totally random things. And then we have these ones that are just like, I can't do this. I'm terrible at this. You guys have to do it for me.
Yeah. So they've really gone back and forth. And I felt like tonight in my notes, I realized a couple times where Jen and Caroline were talking about how great they're doing. And I felt like, well, this either means they're getting eliminated tonight, or are they starting to get sort of the hero edit where we're starting to see Jen and Caroline potentially as a winner edit? Is that possible, Jess?
They could be pulling a Beekman.
Yeah, because it was like, oh, man, we're doing so great. We're on top of this. You know, where everything is going perfect right now. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that can only mean one thing. But it turns out that everything was good with the exception of that they didn't come in first place.
Yeah. Okay. But I think, yeah, it was a really strong showing from them, and especially a strong showing from Caroline, because I feel like Caroline has been the weak link all season. And all of a sudden, it turns out there's one thing she's, like, savant level good at, and it's shooting.
Shooting. Well, I guess that's in her blood. I know that, you know, they were talking about, like, well, I'm related to Daniel Boone. And Jen's like, well, I'm related to John Wayne, so we're going to shoot guns. And I'm like, yeah, but John Wayne was an actor. Like, he doesn't really know how to shoot a gun, right?
Well, he probably had to learn to convincingly hold a gun, so there's something.
I guess so. But so I don't know if actually John Wayne was a good shot and how much of that is hereditary. Okay, but let's start to talk about the episode, and I'm sure we'll preview the final three more and more as we go along, and also as we start to take your questions that you guys submitted. So let's talk about some of the interesting parts of this this task tonight. And we started off going to go play soccer in Liverpool at the Liverpool Football Club. Now, what did you think of the soccer goal task?
I felt like that was something that could get real subjective in a hurry.
I did too. I kind of felt like that where it seemed like at first, like everybody was having a hard time making shots, especially Jen and Caroline. It seemed like their goalie kind of stopped trying at some point.
Yeah, I feel like it was either that they were told to let the goal go through after a certain point, or they were just getting bored and they wanted it to be over.
Like, I can't imagine that really out of any of these people, but let alone Jen and Caroline, like, were these like Liverpool football club players, or these were just like, were these just like people off the street? Were these?
No. Well, I feel like at that level, I'm not sure exactly how English soccer club systems work, and I'm sure someone's going to jump in the comments with multiple paragraphs to tell me how wrong I am, but I feel like they probably have multiple levels of teams. Like, these are not their major league guys. These are like their D-League guys.
Okay. But you would imagine, like, what are the chances, and I don't want to pick on Jen and Caroline so much, but like, what are the chances that Brendan and Rachel could score 4 penalty kicks on even semi-professional soccer goalie?
I don't know. They looked like they had pretty good form there. Like, especially Brendan knew what he was doing.
Okay. Well, then
they were aiming the ball.
Then let's pick on Jen and Caroline again.
Yes, let's pick on them. Because I think after a certain point, if they were able to kick the ball far enough that it actually went in the... it could have gone in the goal with no goalie there, I think that was the point at which they said, okay, you passed.
Now, it seemed like Jen and Caroline were trying to flirt with the goalie.
Well, that's what they do.
Does that work? I know we talked about it earlier in the season. I feel like was it flight time that was flirting with one of the judges?
I think it absolutely doesn't hurt to try. If you got it, you might as well flaunt it.
All right. So anything from soccer? It seemed like also Jamal came very close to re-injuring himself. Dave also pulled up lame during the soccer test.
Yeah, I saw him throw a really wild kick and I was like, oh, buddy, watch that Achilles tendon.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Jamal actually seemed to be in pretty good kicking form, so I was relieved to see that.
Leo and Jamal did seem like they had a lot of soccer experience. They were pumped up for this.
Yeah. I think they have played before.
Yeah. And Dave also said that he didn't think he could score on his grandkid.
Well, I don't know how good his grandkid is.
Yeah. Also, I made a note when Jen and Caroline finished and Dave and Connor were still playing. Did Jen and Caroline say to Dave and Connor, "We love you, long time"?
I'm sure that is not what they said.
I have to go back and listen to the tape. I thought that's what they said. So that seems like a poor thing to say.
Yeah, I don't think that's what they said.
Okay, maybe we'll get to go back and check the tape on that one.
Yeah, we're going to have to go back to that.
All right, so then the second part of the task was the roadblock of the poetry in motion. Now, Jess, tell us about the Welsh language, because I do not know much about this. Is it a real language, or is it like Klingon?
It is a real language. It's a very complicated language, and all of the consonants in the Welsh language are voiced totally differently from how we would voice them in English.
Okay.
So looking at the written, it's not, you can't just read it phonetically.
Okay. So I thought the teams were really going to struggle with this, but actually everybody got it much quicker than I would have anticipated.
I thought the judges were being pretty exacting on them.
Yeah, because, I mean, even the worst person, which I guess was Connor and Jamal, it only took them 4 times to get this.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was necessarily, like, they were put through at a certain point, which I don't think that was the case. But I felt like there were certain things they had to nail, and they weren't nailing them as quickly as
And how did it go, Jess?
I don't know how it went. Hi ho, heidi ho, something, 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 Welsh.
Now, did you start to worry for the Afghanimals when they gave us a flashback to season 23?
Yeah, I was not that worried, actually, because I thought, now correct me if I'm wrong, but back when they did that task where they had to sing in German, I thought Jamal got that pretty quickly. He was one of the better ones at it.
But isn't that one of the rules of The Amazing Race, of if they show a flashback of your team, you're going home?
Yeah.
Isn't that a tell of when they flash back to your previous season that you're definitely coming in last?
Well, I think this is the only season where they've done that a lot.
Well, every time they flash back to a team talking about anything from their previous legs, then it's when they go home.
Yeah, I suppose so. I feel like they might have done it once or twice in season 18, and I'm pretty sure they didn't do it at all in season 11. So, hard to say.
Yeah. Were you impressed that they got Jillian from Survivor to read the clues for the Welsh language person?
I was, and that had crossed my mind as well.
Yes, so very, very good job by Jillian taking time off of all her work with the Reality Rally to go and help out the Amazing Race.
She's a multitasker, that Jillian.
What'd you think of when the lady, the linguist, told Connor she needs him to give her some more oomph, and Connor said, "I can give you more oomph."
Well, you know, it's all in the delivery.
Yeah, apparently. So I thought Jamal was also very funny during this task.
Yeah, he was definitely, he was throwing 110% into it. Yeah. That is for sure.
And the Afghan animals, they're always entertaining. Even if, you know, whether you like them or whether you don't like them, they're always at least trying to make it interesting.
Yeah, and I feel like if you want the Afghan animals to shine, you give them a task where they have to be hams.
Yeah, and so I thought that was a good job by Jamal. How about the final part of this leg, which was the detour. How about boot it or shoot it?
Well, it looked like shoot it was the faster choice, but boot it looked a lot more fun.
Just what the hell is this task of where people, how bored are people in Wales? What was the thing that they did a couple seasons ago where they had to basically, what was the name of that that I'm talking about, where they had to like go through the obstacle course and like get like,
oh, the schmozzle in New Zealand. Yes, this looked about the same kind of entertainment as the schmozzle.
Do people really do this in Wales, where they sit around, they get dressed up in fancy clothes and throw a galosh filled with water across the field?
I would say they probably do it more often than people in Spain dress up in inflatable balls with bullhorns on them. That's just a guess.
And I feel like that there is some inappropriate way to go with boot it or shoot it, but we won't even divulge into that.
Yeah, I think we might as well just leave that one untouched.
Okay, so what would you have done? Would you have done boot it or shoot it?
I always have a really hard time not choosing the one that looks more fun. And I feel like shoot it looked like it was the smarter choice, but boot it looked way, way more fun.
I thought boot it looked way easier, too.
Yeah, it wasn't, you had like, it looked like it was going to take everybody about the same amount of time because there isn't a lot of skill involved, but you had to get it all the way around the course. Whereas shoot it, if you had the right skill set, you could get it done very quickly, which is the mark of a well-designed detour.
Yeah, I would be very scared about shooting clay pigeons.
Yeah, it looks kind of hard to me, and I was never that good at duck hunt.
You know, I'm surprised because I feel like that, from what I know about you, Jess, I feel like you would have experience shooting a gun.
I have some experience shooting a gun, but
yeah,
it's way back in my history, and you know, I was never the best at hand-eye coordination. I don't think you ever want to give me a firearm.
Okay, well, we won't necessarily do that. So now it happened here that they said, okay, you have to grab either a size 9 or a size 11 galosh for when you throw your wellies and boot it. Why do you have to have only a size 9 or 11? Is that part of the rules, or are they just being fickle on the Amazing Race?
I think it's one of those things where they want you to read the clue. And clearly that had some repercussions.
Yes, because it played beautifully that Rachel picked up a size 10 instead of a 9 or 11.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And so, again, they just let them do it. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe I heard that wrong, because I feel like they didn't make a big deal over it. Like, they, like when they picked up the other boot, like you didn't hear like the Amazing Race like cymbal crash, which typically denotes in the music that somebody's made a wrong choice.
Yeah, yeah. My husband calls that the oh shit noise.
Yeah, they didn't do that. So I was like, oh, maybe it wasn't a big deal. So then everybody else decided to do the shooting the clay pigeons. Now, why did everybody have to get in these crazy uniforms? Because I thought everybody looked good, though.
Yeah, I thought it was a good look for everybody. I think sometimes if the race is worried that it's not an interesting enough set of tasks, they make everybody dress up in a weird outfit just so that you have something visual.
Yeah.
And I think in this case, it paid off.
And why did Caroline say that she was wearing carpet?
I think those were kind of heavy jackets. That tweed can get kind of heavy.
Okay. So, again, we talked about Caroline and Jen, or at least Caroline was really amazing shooting the gun. I thought Connor came off a little, anybody that gets that excited about shooting the gun, I get a little worried about.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Connor was having a rough day.
Yeah, he was pumped up.
He needed to blow off some steam.
He blew off some steam for sure. So Brendan and Rachel, they throw their last welly, and then the judge says, wrong size shoe.
Oh, yeah, no. And then Rachel totally loses it.
Rachel lost it. But I feel like Brendan a little bit was like, how did you not have the right one? And he's like, Brendan, I'm sorry. But then they got it. He wasn't too much of a jerk about it.
No, I feel like he kind of had one small outburst, but it worked. Yeah. Like, he just looked at her and he's like, stop crying. And she stopped crying.
Yeah, believe me.
Well done, Brendan.
I've had like three bigger arguments with my wife today. So it really was not that big of a deal for Brendan and Rachel.
Yeah, especially when you consider all of the previous Brendan and Rachel showings. I would say this is a blip on the radar.
Yeah.
Very tiny one.
Amazing Race gives us hashtag read your clue. I probably made Brendan and Rachel feel really stupid when they were watching the show tonight.
Yeah, I think everybody ignores those hashtags because they're not very great most of the time for Amazing Race.
Yeah. I mean, other than tweeting like, remember on Amazing Race, you always have to hashtag read your clue. Here, let's take a look. I'm always interested to see how CBS is doing with these hashtags. So Jess, give me the number. How many people do you think tweeted tonight, read your clue?
I'm going to say, under 100.
Let's see. Well, it seems like that. It looks like they definitely got over 100. Let me give you a sample of the read your clue. What people are tweeting with read your clue. Whoa, that hashtag read your clue part of the Amazing Race nearly made me cry in my kale salad. I need to get some friends. That's from Travis James. Serena Snowden, Brentials need to hashtag read your clue. Might cost them to get into the last three. Every detail matters. Always got to focus or you could be screwed. Hashtag read your clue. That's from Ashley Clementson. Charlie Hutton, Rachel having a meltdown. Surprising? No much. Hashtag read your clue. All right. So I will give credit where credit is due. I was wrong about this. I've been wrong a bunch on these hashtags.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I guess people pay attention to them. I certainly don't because I make up my own hashtags.
That's right. You know what it actually also is? It's like, I think I used to track this closer when they first started doing this on the show. And like there was a couple of them. It was like six people used the hashtag. But I kind of feel like that they've been doing it for like a year now. I feel like more and more people are using the hashtags.
Yeah, it looks like enough people are using them that a bunch of spam bots have started using them.
Yeah.
So that's how you know that your hashtag is taken off, when the spam bots start taking it over.
All right. So Jen and Caroline, they get done shooting the gun. Dave and Connor, they get done shooting the gun. One goes right, one goes left. And as has happened just about every time somebody does the opposite of what Dave and Connor do, Dave and Connor come in first place.
Yeah, I feel like Dave and Connor have a proven track record. You're going to... You know, if you have the choice to do the opposite of what they're doing or do what they're doing, I would go with do what they're doing.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think Jen and Caroline were left first and they didn't have the option to follow Dave and Connor. I think Dave and Connor were like, let's do the opposite of what Jen and Caroline are doing.
Yeah. Well, okay.
So I hope Dave is, do we know, is Dave retired?
I can't remember what he said.
I should hope so, because I don't know how this guy is going to have enough vacation time to go on all these trips that he's won on this Amazing Race.
Yeah, no kidding. Although he might pass up some of them. Like, I feel like he's not going back to the South Pacific anytime soon.
Can you do that? Can you just take the cash equivalent?
No, you can decline the trip because you have to pay taxes on everything you win. And
then you just get nothing?
Yeah, a lot of people have straight up declined the trip because they don't want to pay the taxes on it.
Can you resell the trip, or does it have to be only Dave and Connor are allowed to go on this trip?
I think they are the only ones who are allowed to. Well, one of them has to go on the trip.
Okay. So, yeah, that's tricky.
Yeah, I feel like they've had situations where, like, you each, like, a team wins two different trips and then they each get to take one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a little awkward if you're, like, running the race with your brother and you win a romantic trip for two. You're not going to...
I mean, for Dave and Connor, I mean, how many trips are Dave and Connor going to go on with each other?
Yeah, no kidding. They're going to want to... They got a big family. They're going to want to spread the love around.
Yeah, you would think so. So they're going to Fiji, Dave and Connor. And so Brendan and Rachel, they have to go back. They throw their wellies once again. And Leo and Jamal, they're actually pretty good at shooting the clay pigeons. But it is Brendan and Rachel that arrive third, and Leo and Jamal are eliminated.
Yep.
Dramatic moments with Leo and Jamal. Got a good montage.
Yeah, I felt like they did a good job of creating suspense, even if it wasn't that close. I felt like toward the end, I wasn't sure who was going to arrive on the mat first.
Yeah, it was definitely close. I would have said the Afghanimals, but I wouldn't have been shocked if it was Branchel.
Yeah, it wouldn't have come out of nowhere.
Okay, so let's get into some of the questions from you guys. These come to us with the hashtag RHAP, and then also we have our Facebook page on facebook.com/Rob's Podcast. And I forgot to mention, so tomorrow I will be speaking with the Afghanimals, so we'll have our Afghanimals exit interview. I'm actually very pumped up for that one, and so that's going to be up on Monday afternoon. And then Jess, we have a big show on Monday evening.
Yeah, I would say we have the number one most asked for Amazing Racer guest probably in Rob Has a Podcast Amazing Race history. We are going to be talking with Marie tomorrow night.
There you go. Marie, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Join us live and ask your questions, because I have a feeling she'll have a lot to say.
I think she has a few opinions.
Okay. So let's get into some of your questions. And let's start with Nick Fishman, who wants to know, wait, did Connor do his 7th roadblock? No more limits for them anymore?
Yeah, we got a lot of variations on this. I think at least 15 different people asked the same question, and I had to go look it up because I wasn't sure. I thought, did they revoke the rule? I thought the rule was you could only do 6. And it turns out this is not the first time since that rule has been implemented that someone has ended up doing 7 roadblocks. So I think there's some level, like, I think you can fudge it a little. In season 16, Brent and Katie had a roadblock split of 7-5. I'm getting this all off of the Amazing Race Wiki, by the way.
Okay.
And in season 17, Jill and Thomas and Brooke and Claire both had a split of 7-5. So it looks like there's probably a minimum, but I don't think there's a hard limit of 6 anymore.
Okay. And
I was yelling at the TV when they got to the point where Dave and Connor were looking at the clue, and Connor's like, well, do you want to do it? And Dave's like, I don't want to do it. I'm like, Dave, you never want to do it because you're old.
I mean, did they change this rule for Dave and Connor?
No, the people have broken, allegedly. Like, I think there's the rule can't be exactly what we thought it was, because people have, you know, quote unquote, broken this rule in the past.
Okay. All right. This is from our buddy Alex Forstenhausler, who wants to know, is this the first time two of the final three teams were saved by non-elimination legs? A couple people asked a variation of this question.
Well, that's an interesting question.
Get back to us and answer that in the comments tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll answer that in the comments. I'll look it up, because that's going to take... That's not something that's easy to just go down a bunch of spreadsheets and figure out.
Okay. Gary Dreslinski wants to know, given the race's history of going for the obvious, how surprised were you that there was no Beatles-themed challenge in Liverpool?
Yeah, I tweeted something to that very effect. I've been to Liverpool, but honestly, I didn't see very much of Liverpool that was not directly Beatles related. So, you know, I didn't go to the soccer club, and I was waiting for that. But I guess they went to Hamburg a few seasons ago and they did a Beatles related task there. So maybe they figure they've already been to that well.
Yeah. And maybe also you're getting the Beatles involved. There could be licensing fees, and that could cost money.
That's true. But, you know, there's ways around that.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you go to Liverpool, there's not, you have kind of three ways you can go with it. You can go with football. You can go with Beatles. You can go with shipping. And that's pretty much what there is to do in Liverpool.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Holly. And Holly wants to know, the only team that will disappoint me if they win is the Country Singers. They were carried there. And even though they impressed tonight with their shooting, so many other times they should have been gone. Is this fair or unfair, Jess?
Well, I don't think you can talk fair or unfair, but I feel like definitely there have been teams that I feel like were working harder and more independently. That maybe I could make a better case for, you know, in a perfect world, we might want to see those teams in the finals. But Country Singers have had very good legs and they've done some things right. And I don't think you can begrudge anybody a chance to get to the finals. Like, they get there, they got there for a reason.
Okay, Katie Beth Austin wants to know, I don't understand why Brendan doesn't read the clue if this keeps happening.
Well, I think he did read the clue. I don't think he was the one that failed to read the clue.
But isn't part of that he's got to make sure Rachel doesn't take the size 10 shoe?
Yeah, he should have double checked with her. He should have said, what size shoe did you grab?
Okay. What was the earlier time when Brendan and Rachel didn't read the clue?
That was in the final leg of season 20, I believe.
And what do you remember specifically what that was?
I'm going to have to watch it again.
You have to watch it again? Oh, no.
Yeah, they...
I don't want to put you through that.
Well, you know, it wouldn't be the first time I had to go back and watch something on an old season of The Amazing Race to prove a point.
To answer a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a question from Wando, and it's for kind of more of a statement. She says, effing hate Liverpool. So glad they lost the league to Manchester City this morning. However, I'll excuse the jersey for Leo and Leo only.
Oh, I thought for a second it was going to be a dig on the city. I'm like, no, wait. This is someone that cares about football. Okay.
Yeah.
And I knew that, like, as soon as I saw that they were going to do a soccer-related task, I was thinking, anybody that's got any ties to the UK has some strong feelings about this.
Okay. Here is a question from Heather, or more of a statement. Heather Helm Brown wants to say, glad to see them go after what they did to the Cowboys, my favorite team. So for the Cowboys fans, this was some sweet vengeance tonight.
Yeah, I would feel the same way if I thought that was at all personal against the Cowboys.
Yeah. Sherwin Yoon wants to know, does the final leg being in Vegas mean that Brenchel is most likely to win since Rachel is Vegas? Are you excited to see the race go to Vegas first?
Yeah, I'm definitely. It's not the first time that the race has had a final leg in Vegas, but I feel like there's so much you can do there that's really going to be fun.
Yes.
Now, no matter what they do, it's going to be fun.
Rachel has a lot of time in Vegas that she was a Las Vegas cocktail waitress. She famously said to Brendan in Big Brother 12 that I am Vegas. So this is huge for the race to go there.
Yeah, I guess she needed this.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
It's a bit like sending, you know, two seasons ago when they went to DC for the final leg and one of Bates or Anthony had lived there. I think Bates had lived in DC and played hockey there for a while. And sometimes it can be an advantage and sometimes it doesn't matter.
Okay. Matthew Wojcis has a question. A couple people sent this to me in a different variation. It says, Brenchel are the first team to run the final leg twice. Eric Sanchez ran the final leg twice as well with different people. If they don't win, can we label Brenchel as the smartest team to never win the Amazing Race? Now, we have never talked about in our conversations about Brendan and Rachel as an all-time great Amazing Race team. Are we sleeping on Brendan and Rachel as a great, great Amazing Race team?
I think certainly if we were taking Brendan and Rachel in a vacuum and we'd never seen them on TV before and they were just these like loud people that showed up on The Amazing Race out of nowhere, I think we'd probably be giving them a lot more credit than we have.
Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
I don't know if I'd put them in the all-time, you know, I don't think they're in the pantheon, but I think they are up there.
Like, if they don't win next week, would you put them in the list of the top teams to never win the race?
they certainly have the best average of a team that never won the race.
And that's very good.
So I think we got to give them that.
Okay. And now if they do win the race, where would you put them in the pantheon? With a second place or a third place finish and a first place finish?
I think we might be talking about, it's hard to quantify that because I think you can do a hard numbers thing where we figure out like what's their best average placement, like what's their best overall placement. And I think certainly if we're doing that kind of list, they're definitely up there.
Okay. This is from Alicia Vega. Do the final three teams all start the last leg at the same time, or is it like the rest of the legs?
It's like the rest of the legs, but it seems like historically they all wind up in the airport on the same flight.
Okay. John Johnson, which way was the worst way the Afghanimals went down? The robot roadblock from last season or getting lost this season?
I think getting lost is always more embarrassing than going out on a task.
Okay. How about from Matthew Wojcik? Would you name Leo and Jamal or Oswald and Danny as the most frustrating fourth place team? See you at the bar, Jessica.
Oh, yay. Someone's coming to the bar. I think both times I felt like they were the team that I liked the most, you know, as personalities. Oswald and Danny are certainly one of my favorite teams of all time. And Leo and Jamal really grew on me this season. And I felt both times watching them repeat exactly their same placing. It's really hard to watch in both cases.
Do you want to talk about what you're doing for the finale next Sunday?
Yeah, if now is the time to talk about that.
Since we brought it up.
Since it came up organically, if you are in the New York City area, I have talked to a friend of mine that owns a bar on West 45th Street. The name of the bar is Beer Culture, and he's letting us come and like descend on his bar and watch the finale there. And you guys can buy a couple of beers and hang out with me, and we'll watch the finale. And it's not going to be the same kind of huge blowout party that Tarkon was, but I feel like the fans need to get together and hang out and hash this out. And I think we're going to have a pretty good time.
Okay. And give Jess the RHAP secret handshake if you see her.
Yes. And now that I know what that is, because yes, it's definitely a thing.
Right.
I will put there's a Facebook event that I created. It's a public Facebook event. I'll put a link to it in the comments.
Fantastic. Okay. So let's take one more from Facebook and then let's jump into some of the questions from Twitter. And John Johnson wants to know which season had the best soccer related challenge. Do you have that information off the top of your head?
I liked the robot soccer from, I can't even remember what season that was. I think they were in Japan and they had these little, they had to control the robot with the cell phone and nobody could get it to work. And it was very frustrating to watch, but it was also very cute.
Better than remote control chariot racing?
Harder than remote control chariot racing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. At Dawn's Nerdy Bread wants to know, are the country girls good racers or just incredibly lucky?
I think sometimes they're good racers and sometimes they're lucky.
Okay. And on a similar note, Sarah Freeman, our own at Chan and Sarah, wants to know, how in a leg so dependent on driving and navigation did the country girls do so well?
Well, they seemed to like these roads, I guess. They did fine. It wasn't an issue for them. I'm surprised that it was an issue for so many other teams.
Mike Bloom wants to know, do you guys prefer the west to east route or the east to west route like this season?
It's interesting. They used to do it. It was almost always you started out going east and you went that way around the world. And then like, I think season 9 or 10, they went the opposite direction and it was kind of a shock. And now they seem to kind of mix it up. Like you never know which way they're going to go. And I feel like going west to east has its advantages as far as like making people more tired. And I think if you have the culture shock of going to Asia very early on, it's kind of ups the difficulty level right out of the gate. And I like that a lot better.
Okay. Peggy McCabe wants to know, Rob, how close do you think the Afghanimals and the Brentials really were? If we had to guess, what do you think? Give me a time.
I would say it was within 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay. That's close.
Yeah, it is close.
Okay.
But it's not. It was not so close that the outcome was in doubt.
Got it. The original Donald wants to know, did anyone on the production staff of The Amazing Race ever hear of Steven Gerrard?
Well, I know I haven't.
No, I haven't either.
I'm going to Google this now.
Okay, who is Steven Gerrard?
He plays for Liverpool. I guess we should have saw that coming.
Boy, these Liverpoolers are really on top of the ball.
Yeah, I have to say this is a very big blind spot in my knowledge of anything. Yeah.
Yes, I was very concerned with football this weekend, but not the kind that you kick with your feet, the kind that drafted about 240 straight players and won first ever openly homosexual player.
Yeah, that was exciting. I was happy to see that.
That was exciting. It was a lot more juice for the seventh round of the NFL draft than we're used to.
Yeah, I feel like you don't really pay attention that closely to the seventh round.
Yeah, so fun stuff over the, at least for the Thursday through Saturday. Bill wants to know, what are the odds of Dave bringing up his age on the finish line?
I think if he wins the race, he's going to say, who would have thought that someone that's this old and decrepit would be the oldest winner ever of the Amazing Race? I'm old. And it's all going to sound like Grandpa Simpson.
Dave would be the oldest winner?
He would be the oldest winner.
Who is the previous oldest winner?
I think it is season 5. I want to say it's season 5, Chip and Kim.
Boy, that's not even that
and
old.
And they were only in their 40s, I think.
Oh, Dave is really breaking the mold.
I'm going to double check that, but I'm pretty sure they were not. I think that's been the record for a very long time.
Yeah. Matt Gregg on Twitter wants to know, why is being the oldest such an accomplishment when it's to Dave's benefit, but a handicap when it's convenient?
Yeah, I wish he would just never again mention that he's old. Like, just be a racer first before everything else.
Yeah. Are fans of The Amazing Race ageist?
Fans of The Amazing Race are not anything-ist. They just want you to do well and not be a whiner.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we hate whining in all things.
We definitely hate whining in all things.
Matt Gregg also wants to know, did you think that the Welsh judge would make a great grandma?
She definitely would. I wanted to give her a hug.
Trevor Chong wants to know, if you don't speak Welsh on the podcast, I'm going to be disappointed. Jess, I know you're holding out on us. You can speak a little Welsh.
I can't speak any Welsh, but I do own one Welsh language album, if that helps.
What is your Welsh language album?
There's a Welsh rock band called the Super Furry Animals, and they did I'd say like maybe 15 years ago, they did a Welsh language album, and it's called Mng. I can't even pronounce it. Mwng, Mung, I think is how you pronounce it. And it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, it's just really great music.
Okay. And how did you get turned on to this?
When I was traveling in Britain, they were one of the hottest bands there the summer that I was there. And that was the album they had just come out with. And they're still huge over there.
Okay. This is from Evil Roy wants to know, did the Welsh judge like Jamal? She helped him where he went wrong way more than she did with Connor. I actually had in my notes, I thought that the judge had a crush on Connor.
Well, who doesn't have a crush on Connor? That boy's got the best hair in the entire Amazing Race.
Whoa.
Okay. I'm saying.
All right. And let's see, anything else that we didn't hit on?
I think we pretty well covered it.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, we got a whole other show tomorrow night if we missed anything egregious. So
if we missed anything big, we will go ahead and talk about it tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you guys in the comments. Look for my exit interview with Leo and Jamal on Monday. And then we're going to be back with Marie at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Monday. And then Jess, only one more week.
Only one more week. We're in the home stretch.
We're in the home stretch here in the month of May of getting through all these shows. And again, we are in super bonus time with the Amazing Race, because typically not only would Amazing Race be over, it would have been over last week. Typically Survivor finale is on Mother's Day. And also then the Amazing Race tends to end in a 2-hour finale the week before. So we are in way over time on the Amazing Race.
Yeah, no wonder it feels like we've been doing this since the dawn of time.
Now, Jess, I saw you tweet the other day that 10 years ago this weekend, you and I were in the same room for the first and only time.
Yes, because I was at the Survivor All-Stars finale.
Okay, well, a couple things on that. Yes, that was, I actually looked this up, that was May 9th, 2004. That, so we just had the anniversary of that. Today, which we're recording this, you'll hear it on Monday, is May 11th. And 11 years ago tonight was the finale of Survivor the Amazon. And 11 years ago tonight, Jeff Probst said I was the smartest player to never win. And he's never said that about anybody else yet. So whether
he's
or not,
never taken it back.
He's never taken it back. So whether or not it's still true, Jeff Probst has never taken it back. And also, I think that there might have been one other time we may have been in the same room.
What was that?
I went to Tarkon in the summer of, I'd have to look it up if it was, I think it was probably summer 2004.
Yeah, no, I didn't go to Tarkon, and this is really shameful because I'm supposed to be the number one expert. My first Tarkon was Tarkon 11 in 2007.
Oh, okay, so then, yes.
Yeah, and believe me, we would have met if you showed up at Tarkon.
Okay, all right, well, good to know. Maybe in another parallel universe.
Indeed.
Okay, all right, so that's going to do it for the show tonight. Hope you enjoyed our amazing race coverage tonight and all season long. And we'd love to hear from you guys in the comments. Join us on Monday for much more. And Jessica's blog. Jessica, do you know what you're going to blog about yet?
Yeah, I was thinking about, I might try to frame my blog around what makes us like an amazing race team and what makes us not like one.
Ooh, okay. That sounds interesting.
Because we keep talking about we like these people, we don't like these people, the show wants us to like these people. What are they doing to make us want to like people, and what are they doing to make us not like people?
All right. So have a great Monday, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
All right, bye.